Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Becky Book Show. I'm your host, Dr. Robin Gould, and I'm so privileged, honored, and humbled that here you are again, tuning in to spend some time with me. And so I'm glad you're here. If you've not heard of Becky Books, it's Books Encouraging the Kingdom of Yeshua, B-E-K-Y. You can find these books on Amazon or on the websites of the authors that you'll see listed when you research them on Amazon. And these books are meant to be affordable, accessible, useful, functional tools to share your faith of the Torah within the Messiah Yeshua with your friends and family in a way that's comfortable for you, safe for your relationship, and gives your guest, your reader, your friend, your family the opportunity to take their time, digest the information, and see where you're coming from. So we've written the books with a lot of intentionality to help you. So I hope that you will utilize that resource and look them up. My website is newcovenantpath.com. So you can go on there and you can get to know me a little bit, read my blog, which I'm severely delinquent in refreshing, but there are a bunch of archives. I have podcasts of this show. Many of them are on that website, and just happenings and information. So feel free to go in, subscribe. You'll get an update when something new is happening. But I would love you to be able to, get on there and search around and let me know what you think. There's a way to contact me on that website. And I always like to hear, what do you have to say? What do you think about what's going on? And so here we are. Actually, today, I am experiencing the first day of Sukkot. I am, for the first time in Florida, having Sukkot where I live here. So I have traveled to Sukkot when I didn't live here and had a wonderful time. But of course, when we move and we start a new life, we have to adapt. So I'm in that place of adapting. And so I wanted to give a Yom Kippur message to you. And I very intentionally waited until, I mean, we did talk about Yom Kippur on some level during the, right at Rosh Hashanah in the 10 days of awe. And I talked about it a little bit, but I very specifically didn't want to give this particular message until after Yom Kippur. Because my opinion is that this radio show is, it's a very important place to bring a bunch of things to people that I can possibly bring to the table. One of them is to is responsibility. There's a responsibility to a person whose voice that other people listen to. I'm humbled and amazed that I have such a high listenership and so many different people that have so many things to say and how blessed they've been. And I can't begin to tell you what that means to me. But I do take that seriously in terms of being, you know, a responsible party and being functional. And so when I say I want to be functional, it means that I want to bring you a message that you can do, not just tell you the highest, most lofty ideal. I want to bring something to the table that you know that fork and that knife and that spoon. And you can figure this out and do this. And I can figure this out and do this. So I wanted to talk about the seriousness of Yom Kippur after Yom Kippur. Reason being, for this particular year, is that this is the, actually it's the second Yom Kippur since I've been doing the show. I think it's been over a year, I think. You know how time just blends into other time when you are over age 27. Well, I definitely fall into that category. But giving a message about one of the feasts, one of the fall feasts, especially Yom Kippur, when it's, you know, just a couple of days until that is happening, I think can be very discouraging to the new listener. And even the more experienced listener who's just learning or feeling stressed or oppressed or whatever it is by all the demands of life. And so I wanted to address that. I wanted to address that while we live in Babylon, right? We live in Egypt as that shadow picture, that we are in the diaspora, right? We are removed at this point from living in Israel, where it's hard not to keep the Sabbath. It's hard not to keep the feast because the entire country, right, of Israel, the Jewish state of Israel, they observe it. But I wanted to say that to bring a message of the seriousness of Yom Kippur, which is what I wanted to talk about today, I want to give you almost a year to think about this and to prepare and to be ready and to look forward to it, not to be pressured and rushed and shamed and guilted and worried and just can't seem to pull it together at the last minute. I've seen a lot of people do that. A couple of days before one of the feasts, they'll go on social media and they'll want people to embrace this new tradition or this festival they know nothing about. That's not going to happen. That's not how you do it. But encouraging someone to look forward to a festival that's coming up in a number of months gives that person that chance to kind of wrap their mind around it, sort of let their guard down, research it a little bit, talk to their friends, and really embark on this in a meaningful way. And so that's very important to me. And so that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to talk about Yom Kippur now that we're in Sukkot. Okay, so I know that sounds odd because Sukkot is the season of our joy, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, right? The temporary dwellings that we joyfully experience strong drink. I mean, that's how it's worded. We celebrate with food. You know, you don't come empty-handed. You come with all the things you need for the feast. This is produce, the tithe, right? It's where you come with what is required for this to be a bust out of your regular ritual experience with this 7-day feast. And yet, so the way it works, if you're new, is you have Rosh Hashanah, that awakening blast. Then you have 10 days of awe where you work through in your soul, in your heart, in your mind. And there are different levels that you learn about Yom Kippur, about the 5 different levels of Yom Kippur, where you reach 3 of these levels into yourself on every day. You reach the 4th on Shabbat, and we'll talk about this more later. But there's on one day of the year, on Yom Kippur, there's a 5th realm that Hashem opens to you, where you are in touch with what they would call his essence or your oneness with him. I don't want that to sound new agey or, you know, like Kabbalah or whatever. I'm just saying there's something very special and miraculous about that day. And then you have, so after Yom Kippur, that's a 24-hour fast where you are afflicting yourselves and working through what we'll talk about Yom Kippur. Then you have 5 days to construct your sukkah and prepare for, you know, emerging from the cleansing, beautiful presence and grief of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the Day of Coverings. And then you dwell in your sukkah for 7 days and celebrate it extra even on the 8th day, the Day of Eternity. Is it day 1 of next week or day 8? As Dr. Illmind would say, yes. I've learned so much from her, and that's one of the things that I just don't think anybody could teach me the way she did, but she got that through to me. And so that's the fall feast schedule. That's what it looks like. You might be used to, you know, the fall is, you know, Halloween and then Thanksgiving and then Christmas. And here you're telling me to string along all these other things. So I'm trying to invite you to the feast, entice you to the feast, and bring you into the mystery of the feast. But Yom Kippur is one of these huge experiences. It's a huge issue. And so this message will be a little bit unique. If you're used to this program, you're used to my tone, right? And the way that I approach things from an attachment relational perspective, and that won't change. My relational attachment passion, right? That's just who I am, and that's what you're going to get. But there's going to be a bit more of, there is a fierceness to the day of affliction, right? There is a relevant fierceness to this day. So I would be remiss as an advocate for the Torah, and as a voice that was given a platform, if I don't speak in this way to help you for next year, to help you on this day. Even though you're in Babylon, and even though, like I said, we live in Egypt, and we don't have the Israel stamp of approval on what we're doing. Our festivals are met with hostility, and it's disheartening. It really is. You know, we put our kids in school sometimes, and we have to go on their holiday schedule. They do not go on ours. There's truancy if we take off the Torah biblical holidays. But, you know, the other holidays that aren't biblically based, you know, you have, you know, those vacation days where we'd rather maybe not have those. So it is hard. And in my heart does go out to each and every person, including myself, as I continue to learn. But this Yom Kippur was different. There was definitely a message that I got this year. I mean, a real strong message. So I feel that it's important to share it. So I'm going to just launch in and talk about what I feel like is very important for your ears and your heart, and for the sake of the delight of the Father. Yom Kippur, the Day of Coverings. If you listen to my Rosh Hashanah podcast in my archives on newcovenantpath.com, you hear me talk about, it's almost like filing bankruptcy. And if anyone is familiar with that, it's where you are getting relieved of your debt. You're admitting you have not the means to pay it. And so everything you bring, every bill you submit, is wiped clean. But whatever you don't bring in, you still owe. All right, so I don't want to make this black and white shaming guilt comparison to, you know, you have to have remembered every single thing. But here's the point I'm trying to make. I mentioned this on Rosh Hashanah on that podcast. I'm asking you to think about this. That if you are to bring everything in, lay everything down at that altar, everything, that 10 days of awe after being awoken by that shofar, alerted, warned, hearkened, that shofar that has a frequency that goes into the universe that shatters evil, I believe that. Well, it makes sense that you get awakened and you have 10 days to continue to work through what this special day of Yom Kippur means. This isn't go home, spend 2 hours thinking of what you've done wrong, and then bring it to the altar. No. This is a 10-day journey that He takes you with His light, His lantern, into your truest self, the self that He made you to be. When it says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, He means it. You are. The problem is where we have tried to construct versions of ourselves that don't depend on Him. That's the false self. We do not run this universe. We are not the creator and we are not in control. So the false self leans on itself and erects all of these strategies and coping mechanisms in our hiding. in the garden, like Hava and Adam did. But the truest self, the true self, is found when your identity and your worth and your value is gleaned from Hashem himself through Messiah Yeshua. No one can take that from you because you didn't give it to yourself. I want you to hear how safe that is. You are so not in control of it. You didn't ask for it in terms of you don't create that for yourself. You submit to it for sure. So because you're not responsible for providing it, you certainly aren't responsible for maintaining it. You're safe. You're protected. You're there. So this journey, this 10-day journey, is not easy, my friends. The 10 days of awe are not just business as usual. When you are planning for the fall feast for next year, start planning even before the spring feast of Passover, but even before the spring feast come, start thinking about what next year will be. I'm in the season of our joy right now, and I'm joyfully sharing this, but I feel so compelled to say this to you so that next year your Yom Kippur reaches that fifth level, that you go there, that portal that he's opened, you experience it. Because my friends, these prescriptions, these days, these are a big part of the things that are going to transform you. It's not just our everyday stuff. There's times where we step out of the everyday into the divine. We do that once a week with Shabbat. Yom Kippur takes it to another level. It's the highest day of the year. So with saying that, I have to issue you this warning. When you take your 10 days, take them seriously. You take time each day to seek his face. Ask the Father what he wants to show you about whatever false peace in this world or in yourself or whatever that you've taken on. And look at what the ramifications of that falseness is. And take your time and look at it. Don't be rushed, my friends. Take this 10-day journey. Take these 10 days. Take this time. Take this time for yourself, for him. He's asking you to. He's providing you the time, which means you have to provide it for yourself, right? So that's that tithe of the feasts, where you put away part of your income so that when this comes around, you're not pressed and stressed and worked and scheduled. Now, clearly, there are jobs where you cannot take off. I understand that. I totally get that. Even in the castle for the king, right? Even in the for King David, right? The guards had a rotation. Doctors, surgeons, people that work in labs for tests. They're jobs that run around the clock. They don't take a day off. So there's a rotation schedule. All you can do is your best, my friend. All you can do is your best, but you know what your best is, right? You might be able to convince someone you did your best. And like I said, I am not trying to shame anyone. I want to call us out, to call us in on this piece. And I say this to myself. Only we know if we did our best ahead of time to plan. Now think back to when maybe you were a Christmas celebrator. And if you still are, please, I'm not even putting a dog in that bite. But what I'm saying is this. You weren't on December 24th making a turkey all of a sudden and buying a present. Now, people plan for Christmas in October. That's one of the laments we get in our society that, Christmas decorations are already up, before Thanksgiving. People hate that, whatever. Because even commercialism knows that whatever you value, you're going to spend money and time on. You're going to prepare. You're going to pre-order your tree, your wreaths. You're going to have your lights stored carefully. You're going to have this situation equipped. And yet sometimes we don't treat the feasts that way. We think we can last minute them. We can just give them our bare minimum. When, my friends, these are a shadow of the future. And you are privileged to be brought in to the future today. Taking that for granted is not in your best interest. And it's not the act of a covenant person. Now, we're all at different levels of our learning. And I'm speaking this message to myself, so you know. Only I know my motives, my reactions, my intent to how I do the feast. And this isn't to measure up to the Joneses and the Goldbergs, so to speak. I'm talking about your heart, your soul, your intent, and you really leaning in to these portals of time that are set aside for these specific events where it is in heaven as it is on earth, right? Or it's on earth as it is in heaven is a better way to really understand that. But Yom Kippur is one of those days. It's the day. Actually, it's not one of those days. It's the day. Not the day. It's the day. I'm even using old time language to underscore the importance of this day. Wrap your mind around that. Think about that for a second. The day of days, right? The highest day of the year. It's a Sabbath. We don't even eat. We don't even drink. Because it's the day we're inscribed into the book of life. Without trying to tell you you're in or out of that book or even what that means, I want to say very soberly to myself and to you that the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim, is not a day to mess with. This is not a day to run your errands. It's not a day to watch Die Hard and lay around and fast. It's not a day to complain that we're starving. Okay, that's not what this day is. It's not a day to do your job and go to work unless you absolutely have to because you are a life and death medical professional or the terms of your employment just will not allow it no matter how hard you tried and only you know if you tried hard enough. Only you know if you set the boundaries you knew you could set. But I do put that onus on each one of us that we must do our best. Because this is a special day. This is not a day to mess around. This is not a day to not do your best. Okay? This is a day that you show up with everything you have. And you've prepped for it. You've gotten warned by that shofar because it says to listen to it and you heard it. You listened. And it rang through all the cells in your body. And you went to bed that evening with the sober idea that this is the time and the move of the spirit within the feast cycle that you're going to dig deep. You're going to be open. You're going to let the Father dig deep. And you're going to look at that as he confronts things in your life. Maybe it's something that's from a year ago. Or 9 months ago. I mean, it might not be something last week. We have a whole year to cover. Thankfully, it's not more than a year. If it's your first Yom Kippur, you're going to be doing multiple years. You're going to ask the Father to bring to your heart and mind everything that he is ready to bring to you. But the Father is on this journey with you, and he knows this is a process. You are not going to run ahead of him. You're going to just listen. and he will never give you more than you can handle. Never in this way, right? Never give you a task he doesn't equip you to follow through. So all you can do is your best, and only you know what that is. But if you have a job that you can get around working, and you deep down in your heart know you can, I want you to do it. He wants you to do it. This is part of your development. This is part of who you are. You're going to be afflicted on that day. But not if you're occupied with tasks and errands and other things. This particular Yom Kippur, my husband and I had a very interesting experience with information that came to us on that day that would have been on our list of never forgivables ever. It involved one of our children and that are adults now, but it was something that broke our hearts. And normally I have everything shut off on Yom Kippur, but in this particular circumstance, due to a family issue with health, I had my phone on, and information came to me that was very, very hurtful. And it was around one of my sons, and here it is, Yom Kippur, and I am present. Okay, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm afflicted. I prepared for 10 days. And this information comes into my ears and I'm so upset. Anybody out there that's a mama bear, raise your hand now. Mama bear is real. And when someone hurts their children, mama bear comes out with claws, with a big, bad roar. But it's Yom Kippur. And what am I contending with? My false self, all my sin, and the beautiful, delightful idea that my father wants to write my name down today. It's a mixed bag, isn't it? It's everything. It's the way Hashem is. He's complete. He touches every corner. But I'm given information about something that hurt my son. While I'm contending with my divinity, my divine creator, who gave his son because of what I've done. Oh, it was so hard. I really wanted to hate in that moment. I did. I wanted to hate. But it was Yom Kippur. And the only reason I could bring my debt to the altar was because of what I've done to his son. And he loves me. And he knew it would happen and did it anyway. Because even though I didn't earn it, he believes I deserve it. Who am I to say that the person that hurt my son doesn't deserve mercy? I didn't earn it, and this person didn't earn it. But I'm not going to argue about the deservedness of that, because that's not my call. If he gives it, he thinks it's worth it. I'm not arguing with that. I'm not going to argue about the value of this other person. Now, does that mean I'm not bringing this up to this person? I'm not going to talk about it? I don't know. You know, that's something that remains to be instructed to me by the Father. But if I had not been present on that day, my husband and I hadn't been in this still space, sort of tired and hungry and present, this would have been missed on me. But you know what? This changed my life. In the moment, I figured out, you know that sound your computer makes when something isn't working? It's like thong, and it drives you crazy. It's designed to let you know, fix this. Because what you're doing isn't penetrating. There's a wall up with the computer. All of a sudden, I felt that thong on Yom Kippur about hating this person that hurt my kid. I couldn't hate. it was a beautiful moment to not hate on Yom Kippur. I was in the space that I was called to be in this year. And I've had a lot of Yom Kippurs, many, many. And I'm going to tell you, this was my first real Yom Kippur in this way. Certainly doesn't mean the other days didn't mean that they were more special based on where I was then. But there was something about this Yom Kippur. The conditions were ripe for me to experience this. The tapestry is sewn together beautifully when you see it through the eyes of the weaver. And I think that's what happened. And it hit me so hard that day that I want to warn you. People have asked me, well, what if about this on Yom Kippur? What about that? Now, I'm not the authority on Yom Kippur, and I, you know, certainly don't consider myself that way. But when people ask you these questions directly, we need to be careful about helping people make a lot of excuses for why they're not walking in this prescribed lifestyle by our Creator. So I don't mean this to sound harsh in any way, and maybe I do, I don't know, I'm not sure, but there's a fierceness to this moment that we have to rise up and embrace. Yom Kippur is not another day. It's the day. Don't treat it like any other day. Don't watch movies and forfeit this moment. It's hard, I know. But this is a gift and a privilege. This is the day that your flesh is subdued and not fed and nourished. Right? That nefesh. So your spirit rises up and confronts all of the things that need to be confronted. All of the ways that we have you read the High Holy Day Siddur? Do you even know? Read through it. You read the 44 sins and the categories and what that looks like. Let me tell you what's sobering, my friends. You're hungry and you're weak and you have spent 10 days confronting all of the ways that you tried to replace Hashem with 100 million other things. Things in you, things outside of you. And then you start reading these categories and you realize, wow, I didn't even touch half of that. It's good to have things written down and to remind us of ways and times that we have thought more of ourselves than we should or less of ourselves than we should. We might be playing the martyr. Let me tell you, my friend, there's one martyr, and it's Yeshua. It is not you. There's one Savior. It's Yeshua. It's not you. You can't save people. You can't make yourself valuable by what you do. So confront this. Confront all these pieces of your flesh that rose up to overtake your spirit. And let it happen. Let that drain be unplugged by the Father and just let Him do His business in your life. The Father is in the business of restoration. He's in the business of rebuilding this temple. You let Him do it. Don't fight Him on it. Don't let Babylon distract you. If you have any ability to be home from sunset the night before on Erev Yom Kippur and on Yom Kippur and you fast, you've taken your 10 days to prepare because Rosh Hashanah actually woke you up. My friends, let Yom Kippur work. There's a portal. It's open. You're there. He's there. Everything works in that moment. I don't know what it looks like for you. I know what it looked like for me this year, and it compelled me to share this message. Be sober, my friends. Do not take Yom Kippur lightly. Do not take that day lightly. Don't look at it as an option. Don't look at it like a burden. This is your covenant with your covenant maker. And this is your bridge to his prescription. You walk, he prescribes. Your behavior is the bridge. And you will see what he has for you that day. I don't know what that will be. You don't either. Can you admit that right now? You don't know what he wants to say to you that day until you get to that day. And your soil is fertile for the seeds he's going to plant and for the weeds and tares he's going to yank up so that the beautiful flowers of your life are nourished and not robbed by these mineral-sucking parasites. Life is full of parasites, my friend. That's the ground that you're in. But the Father, he knows. You Sabbath that land and it's re-nourished. It's re-fruit. What is the word? I don't even know. I don't know what the word is. It's restored. That's you. You're that soil. Your heart is that soil. Can that tree be planted? Will it survive? Will it thrive? Will it provide shade and fruit? Will it grow so tall it looks up to heaven? Yom Kippur is a time that I go into a womb space. I'm a big fan of the way light plays with furniture and with life, and I love light, but on Yom Kippur is a womb day. W-O-M-B, womb. I shut all of my drapes. My house is closed in. No one looks out and no one looks in. It's very still. It's very careful. It's very somber. And I'm letting that day be what it's supposed to be in my life. And what do I learn? Maybe one major thing, maybe 50 little things. I'll never know. And you know what? If I don't take that sober moment to be still and present, I will never know. These feasts are a gift to you. They're a cleansing, restorative, beautiful, connecting gift. We are to walk in that gift, fully giving ourselves to this encounter. He's there. He shows up. What does that look like for you? He shows up and he's there. He's waiting for you. You have free agency. You make your choice. And you never come. And he stood there. He gave you that day. He also took that day for himself. Because he delights in your repentance and in your restoration. But you don't show up. You pick other things. You pick non-necessary work. You pick errands. You pick food, whatever. Whatever that is that you know. Your motive was not pure. You can justify it, but it doesn't matter. He knows. And he's not out there shaming you about doing it right. He's telling you how to do it his way. And he says, I know everything about you from the moment you were conceived. I know about the generations of your family before you were even beginning to be conceived. And I knew what you were going to have to face as those behavioral patterns ripple down into those descendants. I get it. He's there. He knows You cannot trick or fool him. He is the epitome of mercy for you. He is the ultimate judge of kindness. But he also knows, and there's no but there, and in that beautiful justice, he knows. If you're just letting this portal be open for nothing, I believe he's disappointed when we don't show up. He wouldn't prescribe it otherwise. So approaching Yom Kippur is a sobering thing. Your divine creator asks you to afflict yourself. This is the creator who himself was ultimately afflicted. But we don't show up. Or we show up halfway. It just wasn't that important to us. We were distracted by the world. There's nothing wrong with operating in the world. There's just something wrong with loving it. There's nothing wrong with enjoying it. It's just wrong to love it. There's nothing wrong with adapting to it, but it is something wrong with loving it. We don't love it. We love the feast. Now, what if you don't love the feast? Be honest. Bring that on Yom Kippur. Confront that every day on the days of awe. Talk about that. I don't love this. Show me, Father, how to love this. It's unfamiliar. There's no plum pudding. There's no special music for it. The Father says, this isn't a commercial, my friends, my beautiful children. This is your life. It's so much more important than anything else on the outside. Our feasts and holidays are all about the inside. Certainly, traditions and beautiful rituals help us with an outside ritualistic experience and encounter, which I totally agree with. I'm all for music bringing you back to a memory and helping you re-experience it. And sacred space, as they would call it, where we, you know, might light certain candles, eat certain foods, sing certain songs. I get that. We're designed to be moved by our encounters. But what if Yom Kippur is just not an encounter to you because you're too busy? My friends, prepare on those 10 days to not be busy in your heart or in your mind. I have a son in the Marine Corps and he doesn't have the option to have a religious holiday off. It's the way of war. It's just how it is. People who guard the king, people who guard the country, the doctors, okay, there's just people. They cannot be guaranteed this time. And I told him, I said, you know, I've been reading, and what you can do is what you can do. And only you know what that is. But there are people who are in occupations that can't take time off, in particular on Yom Kippur, but there's a way that you can show the Father that you have prepared your heart and this is a separate day for you. Even if it's as simple as putting your shoes on in a different order, maybe saying something while you're putting your uniform on, whatever that is, it's just something that shows him that you acknowledge that this is not just another day, that there's a portal open and you want to touch heaven. You know that Michelangelo painting, you know, with the touching of the fingers. I always look at that painting and I always think that's the feast. Two fingertips touching. I know some people would have a really hard time with that because it's like a graven image and trying to, you know, visualize what Hashem looks like. But I'm talking about just that whole idea of this is where we connect on a whole another level. I love that idea, and I just love that reality. It's not just an idea. Yom Kippur is an idea right now because we haven't gotten there yet, and all we have is today. But Yom Kippur is that day that we are allowed, and He provides for us that fifth dimension, that fifth step, if you will. So we'll talk about what those five levels are, and I think this might really inspire you. Now, before I say that, I want to make sure I make my point really clear here, that this is not about this year's Yom Kippur. We're talking about next year. What if this year you failed at it? You didn't do it. You didn't do it properly. You're listening to me and you're thinking, oh, I didn't quite really do that. Here's the beauty of this. You know where you bring that? To Yom Kippur. Next year. Do you see how He sets you up for success at every step of the way? Do you even understand how good our Hashem is? Our Adonai is so good. That's where you bring that. You not observing it properly is what you're going to bring to next year and to be covered. Now, that doesn't mean we don't repent on a daily basis, of course. But there's a special provision for the human being and for himself on this special day when He covers you. Don't not show up for Him to cover you. Don't. He stormed that garden with intent to get back His human being. To get back you. Don't hide. And don't ignore Him. And don't look at this day as nothing. So we're not talking about last week, Yom Kippur. We are talking about next year. And we're going to start now. The new Taurus cycle will start shortly. Get involved. Start again. The most beautiful thing that's ever happened is that we can start again. There's this idea of day eight. Eternity, infinity. A number we can't begin to embrace. It's the number of Yeshua, eight. I want you to pray about that. The eighth great day of Sukkot is the day to start planning our hearts to be in that place for Yom Kippur next year. It starts with a warning of Rosh Hashanah. It ends with a hearkening, beckoning, reminding of the eighth day of forever. These feasts are about you forever. So don't miss today. Don't lament yesterday either. After you've repented, receive that mercy. And during those 10 days of awe, after a year of just sort of daily repentance and Sabbathing to be still and calm and able to think, keep that weekly feast cycle of the Sabbath, this is all the way that He maintains you. This is all the way that He gets your attention and keeps you and provides for you. It's the way your body's programmed to thrive. So take that seventh day and be present. And it's like the seconds and the minutes and the hours of the clock, each part in its varying timetable brings us to the hour. It brings us to the hour. So that's what these feasts are. You have your 7-day, you have your prayer each day, then you have your 7th day pause, then you have your feast cycles, you have your monthly new moons, then you have your feast cycles, and everything is leading you and keeping you contained and in the proper pasture if we do these things. But when we don't do them, we complain that things are falling apart. And we're already in Babylon, so we don't need to add to the falling apartness of our lives. Keep the feasts. Celebrate the new moon. Celebrate and observe, remember and keep and guard the Sabbath. These are what you, covenant person, are to do. It is what I am to do. It is not easy for me. It is not easy for you. We will work through. We will labor through. We will sacrifice. Believe me, I'm not sacrificing or suffering like the beheaded people in other parts of the countries in the world. But we have to work through this. So be honest with yourself. Be honest with him. And confront the obstacles that need to be confronted. Because, my friends, he puts a glittering sword in your hand. And with righteousness, you may slice apart all of the pieces that lie to you and occupy you and distract you and destroy you. You are the warrior in your life. He has made you that way with his own sword of truth. I know this seems like a really harsh message, and I don't mean it to be really harsh. I mean it to be an invitation to you that you are loved, you are called in, and that there are expectations of you because he believes in you and that you can do this. And when you don't, that's a disappointment. It disappoints your community. It disappoints you. It disappoints him. And my friends, we can do better. We can. Maybe some of you can't do better, but this year I discovered I could have always done better. That was my message this year. And I'm not one to talk about you can do better. I'm one to talk about you are loved, which I'm still talking about. But sometimes we have to give this message of getting out of our complacency, out of our boredom, out of our whining, out of all of these snowflake behaviors we have. And you know what? Rise up out of those ashes. And you know what? Your wings have a wide span. And you fly. You show them all. You show him and you show yourself. You rise up and you do it. You do it. You miss that baby shower. You miss that wedding. You do what you've got to do for the highest day of the year. This is your calling. You're part of a mighty fortress of saints that is shrouding out all evil. When we are together, we are strong when we are together. When we put all of our shields up together, we look at each other and smile, nothing bad gets in there. It's when we're fractured and scattered, we don't even know anymore what uniform is what. But you, my warrior friend, you, my eagle friend, you can do this. He asks you to, so I know you can. What that looks like for you, I don't know. I will say, Judah was given the birthright of the kingship, and it is Judah's authority. Of the mainstay of this day, the timing, the fasting aspect. Judah was given the responsibility. It's on them if there's a mistake. But we are not honoring Hashem if we're not honoring the authority that he assigned. So I want us to keep that in mind. I want to grab your hand and squeeze it and say, I know this is hard and we can do this together. It's hard for me. Tomorrow, I'm totally not going to be in this place in my mind. But I've got to drag my body to follow what my truest heart said yesterday. That is the human experience, my friend. Your feelings are going to bounce up and down. Your experiences are going to cause you to lean into foreign winds. I do. You do. Admit it. We do. And when we think we're not doing it, it's probably when we're doing it the most. Oh, but we have to do it anyway. We have got to put ourselves together. Hold hands. Support each other. Add to the strength. Bring the meals of the oneg. Encourage the widow, the shut-in. We've got to do this, my friends. We've got to do better. And I know we can. And around me are so many compassionate and merciful and kind people. It makes me believe again. We went through such a hard decade of like people coming into this so-called Hebrew roots movement or whatever they want to call it. And yet all kinds of weirdness, you know, I'm not saying I didn't contribute to that, but I feel like I don't see that so much now. I really don't. I see a shift. I see the spirit is doing its job. And some of the saints are listening. Many of them. The ones around me are. I don't have a lot of complaints. I really don't. There's a, you know, here and there, you know, I'm coming across some things that are disturbing, but I'm finding people are catching a glimpse of this eternal prescription. And they're excited. And I want to be a voice for you of excitement. So let's start by looking at these five levels of Yom Kippur, just so that we can put this little distant bell in your ear. So next year, oh, it'll come closer and you'll hear it around that time when you're preparing to prepare to prepare for the day of covering. So let's look at that. All right, so getting into our discussion on a little bit of the detail here that I've been mentioning when I talk about the five levels of the soul or whatever. This is something that I have learned about through Chabad, which not everybody agrees with everything Chabad, and I get that. But I wanted to share with you something very interesting that they share about Yom Kippur. I've learned about this from other mentors as well. When we talked about the first level called the Nefesh, you will learn about this really well from Dr. Halisa Aylwine in the Creation Gospel. So if you've not gotten familiar with that, please go and check that out, because she really has an excellent teaching on the biological basis of the Nefesh, which is the consciousness of the physical body. So if you're familiar with any of Dr. Aylwine's teachings, she has a very balanced approach to this. She talks about acknowledging the reality about the things of the physical world, that we need shelter, we need sex, we need food. These are things that we are designed in our physical bodies to need, do, and protect, guard, and set boundaries around. And that's the base level of the human being as we are physically designed by our Creator. So these certainly aren't bad things, though many times they are presented as just our flesh. Our flesh is so bad. Well, in the Hebraic mindset, the human being is more of a holistic unit of many things, the Nefesh being part of that. The idea, though, and if you talk to Dr. Aylwine, you learn this really well in her series, is that the Nefesh is something to be embraced but not to govern you. So it's a part of you, but it's not a standalone you. The Nefesh is only a part of you for survival. So the Nefesh is very much that base, first level that we're in touch with every day when we need to drink water, we need to be warm or cool. You know, we have a physical body. So then it goes into the next level, which is the Ruach. So you, if you are familiar with Hebraic circles, that's the spirit, right? So this is like another level up of that consciousness, right? That plane of consciousness above the Nefesh, which is where the spirit would be engaging with that Nefesh and curbing the appetites that would be destructive and allowing the appetites that would be constructive. So that's the wisdom piece in terms of the Ruach, right? That sort of emotional place. It is an emotional place. A lot of people demonize emotions and think that they're all bad. I am here to tell you that many times emotions do point us to lies we believe about ourselves and about our unworthiness or our shame or whatever the things that the Father is trying to restore. I do understand that piece. But what I'm talking about is emotions that are surrounding your decision, right? Emotions surround your decisions. Your decisions to go into covenant with Hashem is the piece, the part that would be like the Ruach, right? And then they have this other part, which is the grasp of the intellect. This is the third realm, the Neshama. Okay, and it says here in Chabad, it says, Neshama seeks to pierce through to the essential rather than the ephemeral. So, very important to understand is that the intellect is able to analyze the emotions and tease apart the ones that are believing lies and the ones that are believing the truth. And these three levels would be our everyday experience. As we walk in the pasture of our Father with wisdom, investment, and love. And so that's kind of what those three are. But then you're getting into this fourth stage that you get to, according to them, on Shabbos, right? On the Shabbat. It's called the Chaya, right? The Chaya, however you want to pronounce it. Chayim, right? Life in Hebrew. And it says that the Chaya, or the Chaya, gazes upon the divine energy of the world of Atzilut. And if you actually read about that, it's very, very interesting. I'll let you research that on your own. But it says here that the soul merges into the state of complete nullification of the ego, which is knowledge of the absolute truth of things. So that's where you're on Shabbat, where your intellect and your emotions are put into check through the truth of the spirit, right? They're put into it says here, the soul's knowledge is not the eminence of divine attributes, which identify the nature of the divine energy manifested in creation, but rather with knowing that God is not, i.e. how he is not limited or defined by the finite universe. So this brings you into that next level of wisdom. But on Yom Kippur, there is this other level. They call it the Yahida. And it's where it says, just as the sublime, pure, and transcendent world of Adam Kadmon. I want you to research that on your own. We're not going into all of that here because we're not a Chabad site here at all. But there are just some ideas here I thought were so interesting. That it talks about that original infinite light. And that's the level of Yechida, the essence of the soul, which is naturally and immutable bound to the Holy One. I think this is so interesting. It talks, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai declared, and I'm going to quote him, throughout the days of my connection to this world, I was bound to the Holy One, blessed be He, with a single knot, at one with him. So this is the piece of what they call the oneness of Adonai, the oneness of the Creator, where you have cleaved to him and you have a common goal for the good of mankind, of God, and of you. So there is some sort of an understanding of that fifth dimension that's only open on the day of Yom Kippur. That fifth dimension is open to you. So my husband and I were doing the traditional fast, obviously, and we were reading the book of Jonah. And my husband was reading it, and he just stops, and he says, I feel like I just know something new. And he proceeded to share with me what he saw in that story, which I thought was very profound. And eventually, maybe I will put that in a book or share that on this program here. But there was something about that day that put him in touch with those other four dimensions, culminating into this fifth level of awareness of higher things. Yom Kippur puts you in touch with higher things. Don't take that day for granted. Now, saying this, it's real risky for me, because if you're on a radio program declaring this, you are judged by what you are declaring, right? It's what you know. So I understand what I'm taking upon myself, that Yom Kippur will always for me be this Yom Kippur it was this year. And I never want to back away from that. And my goal is to encourage you in this pursuit of holiness, not through your ways, which is a book you have yet to write and shouldn't write. But what are his ways? What are his prescriptions and his festivals and his calendar and his timetable? That's where you are going to be settled, my friend. And understanding the kingship of Judah, given that authority and that scepter by the Father. Tell you what, I don't know if you've ever done a study on the sighting or the conjunction and all that. Have you ever just gone from one thing to the next and just felt like it all was a very good argument? That's where Judah comes in. When I let Judah decide, number one, it bonded me to the people of the land. And being, of course, being Jewish, I mean, bonded me to that. It brought out of me, it took out of me that ego that thought I could have an opinion on such a matter that for thousands of years has been settled. Now, whether or not they've assembled their Bet Din to, you know, their court to reassess how this goes is not my business. What a freedom and liberty to know that that's none of my business. I love that. But there's this whole idea of submitting to Yom Kippur, submitting to the community, submitting to your God, bringing everything to him that you have to give, that you have to offer, that you need to bring. Experiencing that cleansing. You know, when you do Yom Kippur, it's funny. It's like I can fast all the time. I don't know. It doesn't really bother me. Like very commonly, I'll wake up, just have coffee in the morning, do my writing and work all day, and then realize it's 4:30 and I haven't even had anything to eat. And I need to go eat. And that happens. I don't feel bad at all. I'm energized. I'm motivated. I'm focused and clear. Then I'll maybe have dinner. Maybe that was my only meal that day. I mean, that's just not an uncommon scenario. But for some reason, come Yom Kippur, and as the sun set, when I take that last big glass of water, and the next day, I don't know if it's the move of the spirit in my body or just in the universe, but it's exhausting. It's horrid feeling, that fasting. It's like it afflicts me. It really, really does. Where normally, that sort of fasting is what I would naturally do to feel clear-headed and fine. And I really only have 3 or 4 hours to go before I'm eating again. So I don't really know why it's such a big deal, except I can suspect that it's supposed to be a big deal. So then when you break that fast, right, there's a whole bonding mechanism and a joy. So as you wrap up Yom Kippur, you know, you're breaking your fast with this whole idea of, you know, of course, you're not wearing leather shoes, you're not showering, you're not engaging in the physical realm, in the nefesh. You're not giving the nefesh you're under shelter, but you're not really, you're starving that nefesh a little bit. You're definitely letting the other parts take over. But you know that feeling where you're just so hungry and you finally eat? And I'm probably just not having a lot of water, or the option of water is the biggest thing there. But there's always this feeling I have after Yom Kippur that I'm glad I did it. You know, I'm not a martyr. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm finding the benefit to it. And I can see why my Creator prescribes it. So I always have this traditional meal that I always make. I've made the last number of years. And it's this pasta meal that we break our fast with. It's like pasta and some meat in it. And it's just become the way that we break our fast. It's really, really good. And there's a bonding piece to that where we're all aware. My husband and I, my whoever we're with, we're aware that we brought ourselves to Yom Kippur. We brought ourselves to that altar. We let the light shine into the darkest rooms that we had access to at this point, so that we could look at and confront together what needs to go and what needs to stay. So the day of coverings, right? The day that you are covered. This is a privilege. This is a gift. And I wanted to make sure that I encouraged all of you to already start planning for the next Yom Kippur. Grab a couple books, that maybe a journal, so you're ready. Put it on your desk and have it sitting there as a message that you are ready for the next feast. And the next feast is not the fall feast, my friends. Do you understand this level of preparedness that I'm suggesting? Have your plan ready. Take that time off if you can. Work when, you know, on the more advantageous days to work during that time. Be ready to be gifted with the idea of deletion of your debt. And don't see this as mean judgment, but as righteous parenting. Your Father seeks to cleanse and restore you. I don't care who you are. You, I mean you. His goal is that none should perish. So who am I to delight in anything other than what he delights, than in what he delights? There's nothing in me that can do that. So if his business is all about us, then our business better be about each other. And on this day, very specifically this day of Yom Kippur, our business needs to be about him. So I hope that you feel encouraged from our message today, not shamed, not, you know, not challenged in a negative way, but I want to challenge you in a positive and righteous way to rise up and to do this thing, to specifically focus on moving forward, on embracing more, on seeing it bigger, on more of the sky available to your vision. Everything should be about growth, roots going deeper, skies being higher as we get smarter. Okay, be wiser, not smarter. And move along in the spirit with these feasts. These feasts are on the agricultural calendar. It's about growth and about harvest. Allow the Father to harvest in you that which he seeks. My friends, you will never regret the Lord of the harvest. You will never regret him. He knows everything. He knows everything about you that you don't know. So be honest with yourself and him about how you observe Yom Kippur. Guard this day. Protect it. It matters. This day matters. I'm so humbled and privileged and grateful that I've had this time to talk to you. And, you know, I enjoy knowing that you are blessed by this program. So anytime I hear anyone writing in, it's such a blessing to me. So please feel free to do that. And even, in fact, if I could ask you as a friend, take a minute, and if something's blessed you, would you let me know? Let me know where you are, what's happening, and if you can just take a few minutes, write a few sentences. It gives me that information, wisdom I need to proceed about what people need. And I'm here to serve you. You don't serve me. I serve you. So I'm asking you to let me know and give me a review about that service. I really want to be there for you and be a voice that encourages and builds you up. I want to see you build up. I want to see you look up at that sunset, shut your eyes, and just be content that you know that you are loved and you are enough. And that all of the things you do or don't do, the Father that you are leaning on and walking with each day will bring and bubble that up so you see it. And He's going to breathe His life-giving Spirit onto your life and rebuild all of the crumbled walls, restore all that the locusts have eaten, and celebrate with you every inch of growth as you are that flower He planted and desires to watch swaying in the breeze He provides. That's who you are. Don't ever forget who you are. Don't ever forget in the face of adversaries that you are beloved and that you are enough. And how loved you are. So until we meet next week, after this unique week here together, as we are going through this together, as we're all trying to figure this out, you are not alone, my friend. So until next week when we meet again, I pray that you are refreshed, that you are restored, and that you are planning for the next Yom Kippur with a strong heart in the span of an eagle's wings. I know that's who you are. So until next week, I bid you all of the shalom that there is. Bye-bye.